was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 465. That doesn't really mean anything. It's
nothing
of significance. Other than...
You know. Yeah, it's not really an anniversary or...
No. Just here again doing this. Fun and exciting. To entertain you at home. Or in your car. Or wherever you're listening. If you're listening. Is anybody out there? Hello? Okay.
Well, we know no one sends us... question.
We got one from Zach today.
Okay.
And we had one. I had one via email. I really don't know if it was a question, but I figured I'll answer it on here. But news-wise, there were Marvel made a couple big announcements today. There's a new Venom book coming, co-written by Al Ewing and Rom V, with art by Brian Hitch. And then there's a new Hulk book by Donny Cates and Ryan Ottley.
I saw that one.
Yeah. Okay.
So, musical chairs, but I guess he's no longer, and I guess he's the Mortal Hulk, they're going to call it that now.
Okay, so that means he can die now.
Yeah, probably not.
He's not really mortal.
Right. So, that was really all the news I saw. And that just came out today.
Yeah. It's been a lie.
Yeah, you didn't see anything else, Pat.
I did not.
Perusing the interwebs.
Yep.
Can I mention an obituary?
No, sorry. No. Moving on.
All right.
Okay. What you got, dude?
Last Friday, Paul Soles died. 90 years old. He was the voice of Hermie the Elf. And Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer, and also...
We know that is very near and dear to Dave.
And also, as we have on Pat's sweatshirt, he was the voice of Peter Parker, Spider-Man, in the 1967 cartoon.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. So they listened to Hermie was 64, so they listened to him, and they said, that's the guy to play Peter Parker. So, but he had a good life.
Yeah, at 90, yes. The one question for your email was basically asking if stores could work together to order stuff to get a better discount. And with Marvel, no, because it's a flat 50% for everybody. If you order $100 worth of Marvel or $10,000 worth of Marvel, you get the same discount. You can with Diamond, possibly, but then you're into sub-distributing, and you're getting it, and it's a lot of work.
Double shipping.
Right, well, it's like they get one big order,
right,
and then you have to split it out, and who gets the damages, and it's...
Well, that's what you used to do with
New Dimension. I did, but I my own order, and I'd get my own boxes, but it was still driving 45 minutes each way, which was its own pain. It's an option, but not really feasible, but definitely not with Marvel with the new discount structure. So yay, Marvel. Probably have some news coming about that soon, about some changes here to do that, but that's not till October. So we'll get to that later.
I'll say, well, at least they did something with that regard. They did it better than how DC just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
At least they're like giving, you know, like, you know, some months and like, hey, we'll let you know what's going on when it gets sooner. So at least it's not, it's still kind of a screw job, but it's not as bad.
I think DC did a great job when they announced it on Friday and you had to have your orders in by Sunday with the new account set up. Yeah, I thought that was a real good way to do it. And with the company having no intention of working on the weekend. So that was a good thing to announce 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Right out of lockdown.
Yeah. Straight out of Compton. And then Zach asked, with Marvel raising the price of their trades, some seem to be pricier than the single issues they contain. Do you see other publishers following suit? Do you see the single issues going up instead or both? Marvel's been pricing their trades above the the separate issues for quite a while now. Most of them have been $16.99, with the issues being $16.
And compounding that, all of the new Marvel miniseries are 5 issues, not 6.
Okay.
And I think they're going to keep that same price point.
Yeah. Well,
so
the,
you're probably going to have, instead of a 6-issue trade, a 5-issue trade
right.
for $18.
No, 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they just, it was funny in the Marvel mailer last week or 2 weeks ago. It said two of them, a Daredevil and a Runaways, I think, were just changing from $19.99 to $24.99 for no reason. No change in editorial content, no change in page count, just because we want to.
So maybe it'll be 5 issues or 18 and 6 issues or 25.
I'm thinking 25. Going to be 25.
Even 5 is 25?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Especially if they say
they start putting ads in them.
But it's cheaper on Amazon. So
yeah,
that's what they'll tell you. How else could we afford to make it 50% off at Amazon?
Because too, I feel like any like the last Marvel trades have been there like super thin. So it's not even like, you know, if you pay like $25 for a trade, but it got some, you know, got some size to it, you don't feel as bad as like, hey, well, it makes it seem like you're at least getting your money's worth.
Like most shops, they're probably just gonna need to not carry like Captain Marvel Volume 2,
yeah,
and Miss Marvel Volume 9 or whatever.
Yeah, here it was. Yeah, it was Volume 6 went from $19.99 to $24.99. Shocking! Amazon has it at $15.99. I'm stunned. Let's see what's in this one. 26 through 32. So 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Actually, that's 7 issues. So that's not too bad. Well, 7 times 4 is 28. So, yeah, you're saving $3. But who knows? It's Marvel. Marvel does what Marvel does.
So you don't want to make yours Marvel?
No. No. Not making mine DC or Marvel these days.
You just have to become one of those like cool, hip indie shops.
Oh yeah, because they make fortune on the 2 copies of that Behemoth title they order.
You gotta go real heavy on Boundless. I mean,
well, true,
that.
But I need Caleb, and you know,
I'll let him know that he needs to step up.
Yeah, step up and carry the store with his Boundless fascination. But so that's it. For questions and news, anybody else have anything? No?
Man,
okay.
You're going along.
Brandon, what'd you read?
What did I read? I read Made in Korea.
Okay.
Anybody read that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. It's about an android that's made in Korea.
Yeah, I took it, and it's in the pile, but it just didn't grab
me.
It was
good. It, like...
I was obsessed with Heroes Reborn.
So it's this... It's set in the future where it seems like either people are infertile, or at least, like, a large number of people are infertile. So they're kind of showing their wealth by buying artificial children. And there's a family that goes to a birthday party for this super rich family who's just got one of these things, and then they come home and they talk about, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could have one, and then they look at the price of it and it's like, I think it was like $8 million or something like that, like it's really expensive. So they're kind of just like, well, maybe we can babysit. And at the same time, the alternate story is there's this coder guy who he cracks a code, and he tells his buddy, I cracked the code, and he's like, oh, well, that's great. I hope you didn't do it during office time, like when you're on the clock, because if you did, then the company owns your breakthrough. So in order to hide his breakthrough, he goes to like the warehouse or whatever where they ship these things, and it appears that he, exactly what he did is a little unclear, but like appears he like put his breakthrough code into like a discount model.
Okay.
That got sent to this family that couldn't afford
the
luxury one. So the end of it, they get this girl and they turn her on, and she doesn't act like a normal robot that you'd turn on. Like, you're supposed to go through this, like, you know, like, you know how you like teach Alexa your name,
okay,
that kind of thing?
Yep.
They go through that like boot up sequence, but as soon as they turn her on, she like goes and hides under the table like a scared puppy kind of thing. And they give her a toy and they like coax her out. So it's like clear that she has some kind of like, you know, super emotion. She's not robotic like the other ones. So that was really good. I think it's a 6-issue mini, so I'll probably read more. Strange Adventures number 10.
That book was off the chain.
I couldn't remember if I read 9, so I didn't. Okay. I didn't read it.
So, in this issue, it's done from the perspective of the what's his wife's name?
Elena.
It's Elena is reading a letter from Mr. Terrific that basically explains, like, you know, it's his opinion on the case, and in this, he basically damns Adam Strange as like covering up the fact that he, you know, committed these war crimes, and Mr. Terrific seems to be coming down on the side of that, and he sets up a scenario where, in order to save Ran and his daughter, he goes into an alliance with the Picts to basically give them Earth. So the way he saved Ran is to make an exchange for them, and Mr. Terrific has seemingly figured this out, and now he's exposing it to Alana, who's going to confront Adam about it.
Well, but there's the other piece of it. He gave them collateral, his daughter.
Yeah.
She's apparently alive.
Okay.
And they have her, which obviously Alana's not going to be too happy about that piece.
Right.
Right.
That was kind of the oh shit moment, like, oh man.
But at the same time, I'm like, we still have 2 issues to go, and I feel like this might not be the end of it. This still might not be true. Like, Mr. Terrific might not be right about this. In fact, I almost feel like it's the part of the Columbo thing where, like,
wrong book.
Columbo. Well, you know what I mean, but. There's in the Columbo episodes, there's always this part where he knows who did it, but he gets that person to like damn the person that they were like trying to set up. And I almost feel like this letter is for her, and it might not actually be the truth, might not actually be where Mr. Terrific's mind actually is. This is his one more question thing.
Right.
So, because I get the sense that, like, there's so much evidence, like, that makes it look like Adam Strange did it, that I think he probably didn't, and they're going to switch it out from under us at some point, but...
They got to do that fast. They're running out of runway here.
Yeah. What else did I read? Other people probably mention them, so Spencer.
Well, I started. Well, I'm looking at my list. I'll start out with a book that came out the week before that nobody talked about since I wasn't here. The Amazing Spider-Man, and I just want to bring that up because we find out that the main reveal in that issue is that Harry is alive in a cell somewhere with Carol, and so Kindred isn't Harry, so we don't actually know who Kindred is, unless if this is some kind of misdirect or something. But there was some other kind of interesting stuff, but that was like the main kind of the main thing of that issue. And then, let's see, Miles Morales, Spider-Man. They were in the midst of his version of the Clone Saga. So with the last issue ended off with them, with the, cause there's three different clones of Miles. One that looks pretty like normal, just kind of like a normal person. There's another, guy who get all kind of big and like globby, almost kind of like a symbiote that's not kind of like attached on anybody. That's what it kind of looks like. And then there's a guy who, has like a sonic scream and has like, I think a couple of like extra arms that they're not like real arms. They're like, almost kind of like superior, Spider-Man, like robotic arm kind of things. So in this issue, Miles, catches up to them and, he's just trying to talk to them and, you know, try to see what's going on because they're ruining his good name of Spider-Man because they're out robbing and kidnapping people and everybody thinks that it's him. They eventually, you know, get into a fight. Peter, swings in and helps. And like the one who has the sonic scream, he did that and made them pass out where they could escape. Peter and Miles, split apart to try to cover more ground, but they've already, escaped. So it's getting late, so Peter tells, you know, Miles to head home because he has, like, a writing assignment that he has to finish by the morning. And, whenever he gets there, his buddy, Gronk is still in his room, and they was about to get a fight because he had text messages from him calling him like a fat kid and then, you know, making fun of him, but it was, you know, the clones doing it. Miles is trying to write his doing his writing assignment, he's able to track where the number was coming from. So in the morning Miles leaves to go and try to find out where their hideout's at. And they have like a lab set up there, and so he destroys the lab because he thinks that they're trying to make more clones, but actually they were making a cure that was keeping them alive. So they get into another fight and it's like a big explosion, and I think it ends with like him still stuck inside the burning building. I can't really remember after that. Well, no, they
coming for you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to like knock him out, and they take him, they just hang him up, they whip him up, and that they said that they know now that they're gonna die, he's gonna die too, but it's gonna be a lot, you know, like a lot worse death. Robin number two.
I read that.
Apparently anybody who dies on Lazarus Island, you get, you know, regular, you don't even have to go into a pit or anything, it just kinda has, like, some, you know, magical property or whatever that...
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah.
Well, because they have a very, it's a very Mortal Kombat-like tournament going on.
It's exactly Mortal Kombat.
But, because you get three lives, so you can die up to, you know, you can die twice, and then you can, you know, you can forfeit or whatever, but then if you die the third, if you don't, but then you die a third time, and then you're dead.
That's a fatality.
Yeah, so you get the spine ripped out or something, you know. But that's basically kind of what this issue is. It's kind of, it was setting up all the different rules. You can kind of fight anybody at any moment. You can't fight at night.
Can't feed them water.
That's what I was thinking. Go get them wet after midnight. Yeah.
No, you can never get them wet. Yeah. You just can't feed them after midnight. Sunlight will kill them.
But I liked it because it was like, it was a decent fun issue. whenever Damien finds out that he doesn't have to hold back, he can go all out. He like goes on a mini like murder streak, and then he just kills a whole bunch of people on the island.
He just can't do it more than once.
Yeah. So and then at nighttime, because what's Deathstroke's daughter's name?
Ravager.
Yeah, she's there. And she's the one who's like giving him all the giving him all the information that he needed to know before he got his power ripped out in the first issue.
Yeah, she's super annoying in this. She's like, even though you were trained by Batman, you're not good enough to fight here unless I train you. It's like,
yeah. She didn't seem like a lot like her, like she normally, like her character seems like in like other books. But like, you know, she has her own reasons for, you know, being there. And so does Robin. So at night, Robin, is like, he goes out and I forget what he's looking for. I think maybe he's just following somebody or something. And then, the Flatline who ripped out his heart catches them, and then they kind of go looking together. And then is it Flatline that shows him like the other side of the beach where everybody's like partying and stuff like that, or
they have like a little date night?
Is that what? Yeah.
Yeah. She takes him out and they end up at like a party on the other side of the island.
Because I guess I think it's like the one side of the island it's the murder island, and the other side of the island's like the way you can relax and have fun and stuff, I guess. But that, I mean, that's pretty much it. Is there anything else you think about the issue?
About Robin, yeah, for sure.
Summoning War Legacy, I read issue 1 and 2 because I didn't, I guess this is based off of a mobile video game, I guess, but the reason that I checked it out is because Justin Jordan is writing it, so I figured I'd give it a shot. I don't know what the game is like, but this in the book, it's like there's these summoners who can like summon up different like creatures or animals that can have, you know, different powers to use for different things, and there's some war going on between some of the lands, and I think they made it seem like the summoners and summoning things are like kind of like a not rare but a very like lucrative, like, you know, like if it's something you can do, you're like in high demand and stuff like that. So there's this master summoner guy who takes in the woman, the little she's like a probably about like 15-16 year old girl who is first starting to summon, like she summoned like a fire monster to take out like these huge like ant creatures that would like destroying the crop for our villages, but then, you know, while killing them causes a fire where this guy shows up and like fixes it. And then they go out into this desert area where they're looking for this autocrat, but it's like in the middle of a war zone. So they have to be sneaky about it, but they, you know, there's another guy there who is also looking for it, and they accidentally, they find the autocraft, but it eventually gets, like, broken and unleashes, like, this huge monster that, they spend most of the second issue, fighting, and at the end of that issue, the master guy, it seems like he has like a knife or something sticking through his side, so it looks like he's not in a good way. But it's an okay, like I said, not playing any of the game or really knowing the story going in, I thought it was alright. I'll probably at least finish reading it, because I imagine it can't be more than like a mini series or two at the most. And then I'll talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin number 3.
Read that.
We find out how Casey and Leo die.
Mm-hmm.
we get introduced to the Freudbot's head, that April's been keeping, and a lot of this issue was a lot of backstory. It was a lot of April filling Mikey into what was going on, because both of them were at the location that Stockman was trying to find the robot for something, and so he sends like robotic like Foot Clan monsters. They kind of look like the foot guys from like the cartoons and the video game. They kind of look like those versions. And so there's a big fight, and they're holding them off so that Donnie and Splinter, who is still alive, I thought he died last issue. I guess he was just hurt.
Well,
really
badly. They were going to Japan because there was
the peace. They were trying to like broker a peace between them.
Yeah, it was like a trick to get them to let their guard down.
Yeah.
But
I didn't even realize, because I thought in the last issue, I thought he died. I thought that's why Raph, you know, ran out on his own and, you know, ended up getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize I thought he was dead and not, like, mortally wounded. So they're off, Casey and Liu kind of show up. They kind of get stuck on the way because they get, Stockman unleashes a swarm of mousers, like these like drone mousers,
mm-hmm.
and they end up finding them, and there's
they're basically like, we'll hold them off you guys escape.
Yeah, and then there was an explosion. I can't remember what caused it, but that basically takes them out. The Freudbot detonates himself
because
mm-hmm. he doesn't want to give Stockman whatever that he's looking for. So that what kills them. That's what causes April to lose an arm and a leg. And then she wakes up in the hospital like a week later, and that's also when she finds out that she's pregnant with
Casey Jr.
Oh.
Yeah, but yeah, I couldn't remember what her name was.
Worried.
Huh.
I was worried.
Oh, okay.
And then Mikey.
I think that was a fair.
Yeah. You know? And then Mikey, he gets like sent across the neighborhood from the explosion, and whenever he wakes up, he just assumes that everybody's dead because he goes back to the site and doesn't find anybody because he's out for like a week, and he goes down to the lair, nobody's there, so he's still kind of like not he's you know he's still kind of out of it a little bit. He grabs some stuff and he goes and he tries to. He stalls himself on a plane to Japan to try to catch up to Donnie and Splinter. And that's still kind of the part where we don't know what happened there yet. So I'm sure we'll figure that out next issue. But
6 months from now when it comes out.
And then so the person who's in charge of the clan now, they're starting like a lockdown until they can find Michelangelo and any of the people that are helping them, you know, which causes more fights, and that if we're gonna do something, we have to do it now, and that's when, and you know, Mikey doesn't want to do it. He's worried about the small group of purple dragons that they have now. You know, he's worried that, you know, they're all kids. He doesn't want to get them hurt. And that's when April shows him the tumbler like totem mobile that she's been making down there.
Yeah, beefed up party wagon.
Yeah. The still better shoot out manhole style pizza like things, you know. If it doesn't have that, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Yeah.
And then anything else I think you guys probably read, so
okay. I just wanna jump in real quick. I was just flipping through Facebook there. Jupiter's Legacy 2 season 2 is not happening.
Yeah. They're kind of focused on the super crooks.
Yeah, but just what a weird, kind of a useless season, because all these questions and they don't answer any of them.
So. I heard it was, I didn't watch it. I heard it wasn't good. Like, I heard people were saying that it was really bad.
I enjoyed it, but.
Yeah, I heard it was bad. But it was.
there was a lot of spinning its wheels, not really moving the plot forward. But by the end, it was like, okay, you know, there was this big thing, and then you find out one of the good guys was behind it. But there was one character who played up a lot in the past story, but then you never see currently, and they refer to him, and so you kind of assumed at some point they would get to him, but they don't. So it's
they were saying,
yeah, just too. Very weird way to end it. It's very incomplete.
What I wonder is, what's this mean for the other Millar world stuff?
Well, that's what they're doing. They're focusing on Super Crooks, which is another one, but I think that was only one book, so that's a little more contained.
I think it's supposed to be an animated thing, too, I think.
Yeah, but honestly, after I want to go back and reread the Jupiter's Legacy stuff, because I'm intrigued.
Well, that's supposed to be Nemesis? there's
a new comic coming.
Do you mean Nemesis?
No. Super Crooks is a book he did.
Yeah, Super Crooks.
Yeah, it's where, like, it's like whenever these, like, low-level criminals...
I never read it. I like Nemesis a lot.
These low-level criminals, instead of, like, because they, instead of trying to do crime... In America, where there's supers, hair is everywhere, they go to, like, Spain to pull, like, a big, like, heist job because there's no heroes over there. But, you know, they still, you know, doesn't go quite right, like, you know. So, it wasn't okay. That was one of those early ones, like, one of those earlier books that were actually still kind of good when he was putting them out.
I'm surprised we haven't seen a Chrononauts. Because that just seems like something...
They've been talking about that,
but
yeah.
It seems like something that would be really good for episodic television.
I think Jupiter's Legacy was kind of their attempt at, like, Avengers, and I guess it didn't take.
Well, the Chrononauts, though, the budget... I mean, Netflix has the money, but, you know, that might be a... Yeah. Though, I guess Jupiter's Legacy looked like it was kind of... would be a little bit on the expensive side to make, too, so...
Yeah... I mean, it didn't help that, like, it was set originally in the 20s, and, like, most of the origin was around the crash of the stock market and the dad killing himself.
Well, because there's been multiple series set in multiple times of that, so it's like they, it seemed like I said, I haven't watched it, but it seemed like they were trying to tell it all at the same time.
But then just aging everybody up, Josh Duhamel's beard was awful. But I'd be interested to see the 60 stories and the 70, you know, but... Okay, I'm sorry. Dave, go for it.
Heroes Reborn.
I read that.
Number 4. This is the Dr. Spectrum issue.
The Green Lantern issue.
And he's on a crusade, like an evangelical crusade.
I never realized he was that evangelical.
To rid the cosmos of aliens.
Anointed by God. In the power prism.
The art in this is... It's the same guy who did the Warhammer series, I think.
Okay.
And it's, like, this is not fit for a Marvel comic book.
Well, what I love, like, is that it was supposed to be, you know, Ed McGuinness was the big draw on this, and he's doing the 4-page backup story. Yeah. It's like, okay.
But the art on, like, the last couple issues, it's been fine. But this art was, like, this is extremely subpar.
This was the, James Stokoe.
Yeah.
That was the one everybody was excited about.
Why? He's terrible.
Because he's a big indie fan, indie favorite.
Yeah, and he fits, like, what is it? The what's the publisher that does Crossed?
Avatar.
Like, he is the Avatar. Yeah, book. But he can do every Avatar book.
He's a big indie fan favorite.
But, like, he just doesn't fit on a Marvel book. Like, when I'm looking at a Skrull, I need to know it's a Skrull. It can't just be this emo
thing. But he drew Rocket.
With the weird chin. And his Rocket, if it wasn't a Marvel comic, if I just saw that, like, independent of itself, I would never think that was Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, the story is the Kree and the Skrulls are living in the blue area of the moon, and they hire bounty hunter Rocket Raccoon and his Groot gun to kill Dr. Spectrum.
They almost did.
And, he disintegrates Groot, and Rocket's able to call on the power of the Star Brand, because he has the Star Brand child on his ship somewhere. out there, but it's not good enough because the Dr. Spectrum has the Cancerverse in his power prism. He takes out Rocket with that.
But then the backup story has the Starbrand baby. I'm like, oh, okay.
So excited
about Starbrand baby.
Dr. Spectrum meets with President Coulson at the end too, and one of the clues is there's a $10 bill and it has "In Mephisto We Trust" on it. So,
yeah,
a little bit more story in that, but. Mm-hmm. X-Men number 20.
It was in my pile, but I didn't read it.
Me too.
Yeah, I got it. It was okay.
I liked it.
Lead up to the gala.
Well, it's a mystique. Do you want me to get how much giveaway, Brandon? I don't want to give it away.
I'll read it, but.
But it has Nimrod on the cover. I thought it was finally going to tie back into House of X.
I won't give the very end away, but yeah, it's a mystique. Wanting to take out the Orcus lab with Professor Xavier and Magneto promise her that they'd resurrect her wife Destiny if she takes out the Orcus lab with Nimrod, who's about to come online. I guess this is the second time she's trying this, and she goes at the beginning, she goes to Forge to build some kind of weapon that she can use, and
this is basically kind of just like a super bomb, kind of.
Yeah, it's like a microscopic black hole, and she's able to get on the satellite and impersonate someone.
You know, kind of like they did it in that miniseries, you know, like a year and a half ago, when they started all this, because that's what they did. Went on to the same base that they went
but
on.
That wasn't Orcus. That was the Sentinel, right? The Sentinel Lab.
I don't know.
Is that Orcus still?
Yeah, because they mentioned about how whenever the guy that they killed in that, the first time they went, that's who they were trying to get inside of the Nimrod's body. So it'd be like a person inside, because, you know, what makes a better killing robot is if you have a person inside that killing robot.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I won't give that away. I'll save that for Reigns. Something happens to the person, to the memories inside Nimrod. And there's a tease at the end for the fall event, I guess.
Yeah, we haven't even thought of this next one,
which is Inferno.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
baby burn.
It's a very good executioner song too. Soon.
Gala hasn't started. We have Gala, the Trial of Magneto, and
Inferno.
See, and then because I don't think I'm going to get into the gala, because I feel like I'm just going to get burned like I did for the Exoswords.
See, and I liked Exoswords.
I would have liked Exoswords if whenever they would tell me what Exoswords was, if they was like, this is what it is. But they made Exoswords seem like it was going to be this huge tournament. Yeah, like, that's why you have these swords.
It was a drinking contest for Wolverine.
And a dancing contest. And
and an arm wrestling.
And then somebody got married. Like.
I think that's where they went wrong with X of Swords, was what it was fine, but it was not deserving of a line-wide event.
Yeah.
If that would have been like a crossover between two books.
Like X-Men and Excalibur or something.
Or Hellions or something like that. Just like those three books, they all touch on this. But
I feel like reading all that, I got like pretty much nothing out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. And then I'm not reading a whole bunch of the X-Men books, so maybe it's not like, you know what I mean?
The thing. It's going to be, if they keep doing nothing but line-wide crossovers, it's going to be really hard to read the X-Men books. Because if one issue of X-Men, like, doesn't make any sense, I can tolerate that, because especially how they've been writing it, which is, like, one shot, that, like, only loosely connect. But if I read, like, six issues in a row, because, you know, four of them are in a crossover with all these various things, and they don't make any sense by themselves, you have to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or instead of the story being, you know, a 10, it's a 2.
Next, read a new one from Vault, The Blue Flame.
I read that too.
I enjoyed it. It was very interesting. Yeah, I liked it. Trying to figure out like what exactly is going on.
Yeah.
It's about this. I guess they describe it as
a boiler worker.
Yeah, he's an HVAC repairman, and kind of a do-it-yourself vigilante in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it starts off with him in deep space.
Is that him, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I almost felt like those were, these were two different entities, yeah, both called the Blue Flame.
Yeah, yeah, I don't
know.
Well,
they made it seem like there was three, right? There was, like the space fighter, the home guy, like, you know, like the low guy. And I thought in the description that was, like, a third one.
Yeah, I agree. In the solicit, it indicated there was a third one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he's, the guy in Milwaukee is imagining this. This, because when they show him, I like the stuff in Milwaukee. He's he has a team, the Night Brigade, and he's going to sign autographs at this car, classic car show. And they never show him use his powers. They never show, they don't show any of them use their powers in that section of the book.
Yeah, that's very Watchmen like, where, what's the Watchmen team?
Minutemen.
Yeah, the Minutemen. Like, other than Dr. Manhattan, none of the Minutemen have powers. This seemed similar.
Yeah.
See, I got more of a, like, a couple years ago, that guy who, that UFC, like, fighter who went out and got, like, a suit and, you know, was patrolling streets and stuff like that. Yeah. They're, like, they're kind of like heroes, but, like, not, like, on a huge, like, level, like, you know.
Well, at the beginning of this, he's in outer space, and these aliens put him on trial for humanity, whether on Earth should continue to exist. And then at the end of this, there's a mass shooting at this convention, and he wakes up in a hospital bed, and with that alien, I don't know if it's in his head or what's going on. But yeah, I'm really, really intrigued to see what happens next in this.
And it's Christopher Cantwell, who's been doing Shadow Service. He's also doing the Star Wars High Republic.
Iron Man.
So yeah, so it's a and he did Doctor Doom as well.
Yeah, I'm almost done to the first.
Yeah, so
that,
I mean, it's a big writer, so I have confidence this isn't just a goofy book. There's something there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And lastly, maybe Colin read this one. Ha Ha.
I did read Ha Ha.
Number 5.
Sorry. Breaking news, I read Ha Ha. It was a very different...
I thought this was the best issue of the series so far, because it was the most human.
Yes. Bye, Tim.
It's called...
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
See you outside. Oh, sorry.
The story's titled Pound Foolish Makes a Casserole. And it's about this.
She does.
And that's what she.
You even get the. You even get most of the ingredients.
And it's about this old lady who's was a clown in this traveling circus. And she goes around 24/7 in clown makeup. And she just hates modern life and is full of grievances. And her name's Pound Foolish. And then we cut to these kids in a treehouse, and they're in this mischief club, and they have to carry out do like a bad deed once a year, and one of the kids has to steal something from the crazy old clown lady's house. And he goes to the, he just walks in the house, the door's unlocked, and comes face to face with Pound Foolish and faints.
Well, leading into this, the whole thing is her shopping, and you can't buy cauliflower, you can only buy florets, and it makes her all mad, and how expensive everything is, and the neighbor is like, you left your door open, and she's like, you know what makes a good neighbor? A fence, you know. She's just crotchety old lady, and then it goes into how she's making the casserole and everything, and then there's some flashbacks to when she was younger and stuff, but then the kid shows up, passes out, which is a really interesting moment.
Yes. And he comes to, and they're just sitting at the kitchen table, and they're kind of bonding.
He's trying the casserole, and it's he's like, this is really good.
It's a bittersweet story because yeah. it's about how, you know, she misses the old days.
Right, and it turns out that she that the ringleader was in love with her, and she was in love with him. And this is what the ringleader, the kid, has this revelation as he's unconscious.
Yeah.
But in the end, she gives him this one thing to take. It was really cute. Yeah, that was
yeah,
really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, definitely. It was a really good. Really
just a little weird, an old lady shopping and still wearing the clown makeup. Yeah. But
yeah, that's par for the course.
I've
yeah.
seen a lot
for
of
W. Maxwell
little
Prince,
old ladies
but.
Who.
Yeah, the makeup can be extreme, but this was definitely clown makeup.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all I got. Pat.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we're going to get out of here.
We are. I'm going to be able to hit Home Depot no problem.
There you go. So the only one I got left is Nuclear Family number 4. So we find out in this that this group is experimenting on people. Basically, people that go missing in the lower levels of this bunker, that's what's happened, is they're being experimented on. And it's supposed to be something to help soldiers continue to fight through radiation, but it seems to be turning them into zombies instead. So the kids stumble upon this while they're looking for their parents, and they attempt to, you know, they want to rescue the people that were being experimented on, but basically they have to get out of there because, you know, the actual military is after them. But the other piece is, you know, these people are too far gone. There's nothing they can do for them. So they get taken to level 9, which is like the basement and the slum of the bunker system. And it's like there's just dead bodies laying on the ground. And people, like, you know, no one notices, no one cares. They just walk past them. So, while they haven't escaped yet, it seems like that's going to be their way of escaping, is through that. No one cares about people that are down there, so that's probably going to be their way out. And it, you know, it's Aftershock, so it's normally only like a 5 or 6 issue mini, so I'm kind of curious how they're going to wrap this up in an issue. But it's been an interesting series. I certainly don't think we're going to get all the answers, like how they time traveled or did they time travel. At least not unless they go for a second season or, you know, a second series of this. So. Colin?
That's it. Okay. I only have 3 more.
All right.
2 more were Heroes Reborn. I hadn't read any of the one-shots, so I decided to read a couple of those. Magneto and the Mutant Force. This was interesting, actually. The Mutant Massacre in this case was the mutants rebelling against the Squadron Supreme and all their oppressive putting down of the mutants. So the mutants rebel, and that's when Quicksilver was killed. Rogue touches Super Skrull, who is now on Earth, and so she absorbs his powers and memories. And Charles Xavier is killed. Magneto is has his back broken by Power Princess. So, all of a sudden he hears Professor Xavier calling to, this is like, you know, years later, and they go searching for him, and basically, I guess they're basically searching in his head, for Professor X, and they find him, and then as there's fighting in there as well, and as each person gets killed, they're then outside, where they're actually fighting Hyperion and Power Princess. But in the end, it turns out it wasn't Professor X that he was hearing. It was actually Cassandra Nova, who was still alive in his memory. So that was kind of interesting. Next one was Siege Society, where Baron Zemo has kind of made his own Thunderbolts team. And it's Black Widow and Hawkeye, Sabretooth, and somebody else. And they discover that Nighthawk has a secret base under the Thames in London, and they're like defend, you know, they're letting them have America but you know, that how dare they try to take over Europe? So they're defending against Europe. Turns out Nighthawk had set them up and takes them down kind of easy. So that was Siege Society. The last one I read was Mr. Miracle, Source of Freedom, which was interesting. It's the Shiloh Norman Mr. Miracle. And it has him, you know, performing this big stunt, and then the guy saying, you know, you're running low on money, people aren't paying as much for stunts, and then he meets this EMT at one thing where he went to save some people and agrees to go on a date, and he's, like, really self-absorbed through the whole date, and she's like, I have no desire to talk to you. Overall, it was good, and then there was somebody who was really mad that he was using his power in the boom tube and stuff for just entertainment. So it was good. The problem was there was no little, like, recap page. Like, the Heroes Reborn stuff has all had a real nice recap page filling you in, even in this fake world, telling you what's going on. It's like, if you don't know who Shiloh Norman is, and I can't really say I know, you're kind of lost. It really needed a recap explaining who he is, where he came from, because he's from Seven Soldiers of Victory by Morrison. But you just had a Mr. Miracle mini, so this is... Why do we have a different Mr. Miracle? And what is this? And I think they really missed a recap page would have really gotten everybody up to speed. I think this is going to suffer and people are just going to pass on it because they don't know who this guy is. So that's what I read.
Did you hear anything about the milestone thing that came out yet last week? Because I was thinking about picking it up, but I wasn't sure how it was.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
I flipped through it and
I think a lot of it was reprint, too.
Well, I think it was like it was digitally first, think, is what it was. I just didn't know because I wasn't sure about it. I didn't say if you heard anybody, you know, talking about it, you know, any of the other customers or anything.
I don't understand why you would put that on the market first. Like,
just get interest.
But I feel like what generates interest is you walk into the store and there's, you know, four new
milestone
titles.
Is that a right? Like them into one book?
And the other thing is, the thing that I remember most about those Icon titles are the covers of like the first couple issues.
Yeah.
Like I can picture those in my head, but like instead just throw like a chintzy, you know, number zero out to launch this line. It's just like I don't know. That's not how you generate buzz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just curious if anybody's heard anything about it.
Next week, we have Amazing Spider-Man 68, Spencer. Woo. We have Bunny Mask, which is a new one from Aftershock, something about this mysterious mask and all the bad things that happen. Children of the Atom 4, which is not a gala because they're not mutants. Dynamite Lives, number one, a sequel to the Fantastic Dynamite. Well, now it's Die, D-I-E, exclamation point, Namite. We have Excalibur as a gala tie-in, Geiger, number three, Good Asian, number two, Heroes Reborn, number six, and also Heroes Reborn, Night Gwen and Squadron Savage.
Night Gwen?
Night Gwen. It's like Spider-Gwen, but it's... Yeah,
with Nighthawk?
Right, she's something with it. We have Iron Man 9, which is like the origin of Korvac, something about that. So that was interesting. Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal, number two. I think we all enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
A neat one, Mighty Marvel Masterworks Amazing Spider-Man graphic novel trade paperback, which is one of their smaller sized trade paperbacks. But it's $16 and it's the first 10 issues of the original run of Spider-Man. They're doing that with a bunch of these. So a good way to get that into kids' hands and, you know, cheaper than the $75 Marvel Masterworks. Red Sonja 1982 one-shot, basically Red Sonja set in the 1982 world of comics. So, Six Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton. This is one where a stuntman is murdered and all of his former assistants or suspects because he was pretty well hated. Spider-Man Spider Shadow number three, where he doesn't escape Venom. Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 13. We're also finally getting the second print of Alpha, which seemed like that was forever ago. Also getting a second print of the Marvels number one, which way outperformed the other books in that series. Web of Spider-Man number one. This is apparently a tie-in to a ride somewhere. Yeah. And then X-Men 21, which is their gala issue. Then coming from DC, it's going to be fun when Marvel has their own invoice, and then Image is going to have their own invoice. It's going to be great. Batman Earth 1 Volume 3 finally coming out after a very long time. Also have Batman Fortnite 0.1 and 4 new printings, so I'll finally have all four issues on the shelf. Woo! Batman the Detective number 3, Urban Legends 4, the DC Pride one-shot is next week, Detective 1037, Far Sector, the last issue of Far Sector is next week. I hear good things about it, but it seems like it's taking forever.
I was waiting for it to come out and trade.
Joker number 4, Justice League Last Ride number 2, and Rorschach number 9. So, Tim decided we're going to do Justice League for June, just because it was Justice in June. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. So
I
double
bought, Justice League International, the volume 1, the big
one. Sure.
By Keith Giffen.
There you go.
So.
So that's what we're doing this month. We're getting closer. It looks like Free Comic Day is in August, and it might actually be a little more normal-ish. So just, you know, with the restrictions being lifted and everything. So it could actually be good. Sadly, I didn't order that way, but what you going to do?
Well, I mean,
when
really,
you had to order in February for the books.
Yeah, but though, like, normally your Free Comic Book Day, isn't it normally the sales?
Right. But normally there's lots of books. I ordered probably about a quarter of the books I normally order. Although, DC just announced 4 Free Comic Book Day books, which is great because they announced it publicly without giving us any information whatsoever. So we don't know cost, we don't know order quantity, you know, well, is it minimum 25, you know, what do you have to do? So we still have no idea about
any of
that.
Can't find these things.
No, you can't. Although they did post, the first part of the DC mailer last night was about this big Fortnite promotion going on today. And it's like, great, because the second prints are coming
next week.
They were supposed to come out this week, so that's why they did it, but then they got delayed. It's like, you don't even know when your books are coming out, and we're supposed to know this stuff. And
well, yeah, but marketing doesn't have to actually talk to distribution.
Well, because I know, but it's just whatever. So, but yeah, hopefully we're slowly getting back to normal. Might even have a book club at some point in the future.
Yeah,
you have to do a lot more moving around now.
Yeah. Well, we've got to sell all this stuff.
We can do COVID Chronicles.
There we go. You'll be like, no, I've lived through it. No, thank you. So, I think that's all we got. Websites, PittsburghComics.com. Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Hopefully I'll get back to normal posting as soon as life slows down here.
Because you have plenty of stuff to post now, you know, all this stuff coming up from
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just time. Time right now is in short supply. But so, Dave...
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.